Welcome to the Superhost Unveiled podcast, where a small family created a thriving vacation rental business in the heart of the White Mountains. Founded by husband and wife duo Peter and Julia Plord, with the help of their business-savvy daughter Hannah, Peter was able to leave his full-time job and move him and his wife to their dream location. Together, we'll discuss the secrets of building a successful vacation rental business and beyond. Pack your bags, let's check in for the journey of your life. Here are your superhosts, Hannah and Peter Plord. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Superhost Unveiled podcast. We are talking all things 2020. It was a huge year for everyone, no matter what you were doing. So we're going to be talking about our biggest wins, our biggest mistakes, things we learned, and our predictions for 2021. I'm here with my dad, Peter.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, and my name is Hannah. How are you doing today?
Doing great. I feel like I haven't done this in a while, so dusting off the cobwebs, but I'm excited for this episode. It was an incredible year, you know, and I feel blessed completely because I know not all hosts fared as well as we did. We were very fortunate to be where we are geographically, and I think that was the biggest thing. So,
yeah. And it one word for the year was definitely pivot. So if your business was not faring well with the pandemic, the people that ended up thriving at the end of the year were the ones that innovated and pivoted their business ideas. So why don't we kick things off with our biggest wins of 2020?
Yeah. So I think number one was growth. You know, I think, and it's funny because I think it's in our biggest mistake category as well as our biggest wins. You know, we grew incredibly fast and it happened kind of out of nowhere. And what we did, we didn't know was going to work. And now when we look back in the rearview mirror, you know, we can say specifically what allowed us to grow, you know, and it was kind of interesting because it was really all off the cuff. We had no system, you know, we put a website out there. We've talked about that in the past. And all of a sudden phone calls started to happen right around June and July. And then before we knew it, we had doubled, tripled, quadrupled in size in a very short amount of time. And then when you know, obviously when you do that, all kinds of stuff happens. So I feel incredible about where we sit now with everything that we've learned and then instilled in our business to help us prepare for 2021. So I don't know how much we want to go into growing and what that looks like, but it was a wild first part of the year, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And I think our growth was definitely boosted by the pandemic, because where we are, a lot of property owners up here, they lost their cleaning team, they lost their property management team because of the pandemic. And we were kind of there like, hello, we can help. Yeah, we'll just accept anyone right now, which was definitely a mistake, but it helped us grow.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we should talk a little bit about our model. So, you know, we started, and this is for someone that maybe just popped on to our episode and haven't listened from the beginning. You know, we started as a homeowner investor up here where we managed our first property for a long time. And then we managed two, both ours, before getting into helping other owners bring value to their guests and to their homes. So we're not the model of arbitrage where I'll explain it at a very elementary level, but basically what that is you call a landlord, you negotiate a lease agreement with them. So let's just for simple math say it's $1,000 a month to rent their property. Well, you have them say yes to you, then subletting that on Airbnb and Vrbo or wherever you want to do it. So obviously if you make $4,000 a month on Airbnb, you would make a $3,000 profit if your monthly rent was $1,000. There's positives and negatives to however you want to build your business. But that particular model got pretty crushed during the pandemic because unlike us, if we were to get shut down today, we don't owe any money other than the mortgages on our own two properties. where a rental arbitrage person would have to continually pay that rent month after month, no matter if the money's coming in or not. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Yeah, we grew really fast and the pandemic helped us.
Yeah. So, thinking about the early days, we were getting all of our calls were mostly like, my cleaner just quit. I need someone to clean in 2 days. And then I don't know where it came from, but kind of developed an elevator pitch for the business, and it went simply like, they would always ask like, what do you do? And, at the beginning we were saying yes to just about everything because we didn't have a business yet. So I don't think we did it wrong. I think we did what we needed to do.
Yeah.
But definitely, I remember one property and we won't get specific about it, but we just started to take over the cleanings and they weren't a full-fledged client. Well, fast forward, that was probably July, fast forward 30 days into August, and we were barely keeping our heads above water because we were so busy that we had to drop that client in the middle of the busiest season. We had no contract. We didn't do anything wrong. We gave them enough notice, but she still got angry about it. And in retrospect, and now we don't take on cleaning only projects or our clients. We take on full clients only. So.
And with that said, now we don't even take just any property. We're super selective and you do a pretty thorough walkthrough before you even accept or give them a contract to sign. Because we found that some properties just don't meet our standard and really no matter what, you kind of need to like completely revamp the property to get it to our standards. And most people aren't willing to do that. So we've been super selective as time gone on. And I think that's definitely a win, but not one of our wins of 2020.
Yeah, I think to your point, I say growing is not the problem. Growth is the problem. what I mean? So like the problem used to be, am I ever going to get a client? And some of you are out there listening, might not have any properties yet, and you're just getting started. And that is going to be a fear of yours is like, will I ever get my first owner to say yes? Well, that was my fear too. And then all of a sudden I had too many, right away. And then I realized, I listened to a lot of these podcasts and there's two kind of parallel themes on these podcasts. One is you hear about these big guys that grow to 100 units in 24 hours. I'm joking, but they grow really fast and they grow to these big numbers. And inside it kind of makes you feel, because I feel like most people that are entrepreneurial are type A personalities, that you're in this kind of, I'm going to grow and I'm going to be big because that's what I should do. But that's not really maybe what you should do. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. That's number one. Number two is in these episodes, they tell you to say no to owners. They tell you that not all are the correct fit for your business. And that could be for multiple of reasons. And I think I was conscious of that thought. And the two were kind of doing battle. The two were definitely doing battle. I wanted to grow to a certain number. And I had those big numbers in my mind. And the other thought was, am I growing my business the right way?
Yeah. And just from a business perspective, and this is probably going to be its own episode, but it's important to niche down and get really familiar with who your ideal client is. And don't just say yes to everything, because you're going to end up resenting some clients, you're going to end up loving some, and then it's just going to drain you really quickly. So that's going to be an entirely different episode. Let's move on to our second win of 2020. We said development of our team and process. Do you want to elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, I think at the beginning we had no process or team.
It was just us family, yeah.
And I think, we had a group of cleaners that we thought were enabling us to be where we were at from a number of unit standpoint, and they just kind of all fell apart on us to no fault of our own. Well, I would say,
we kind of had like a false sense of security with them, but yeah, they weren't the right team for us.
Right. And I think we've talked about that in the past, and we quickly, figured out we needed to hire, and we did what we had to do and it worked. And now we're at this much better place. And really what it's enabled us to do, the process side of it is, and I think this process, and I'll get to another part of it that just kind of came to us recently, but the first part of it was allow professional cleaners. And by that, I don't mean, we don't have any other companies that clean for us. They're all individuals that we, you know, that we work with, but then create this process of doing walkthroughs and, you know, understanding how important those are to a great review and a great guest experience and a great homeowner relationship. It really plays a role there too. And I don't think we're perfect there yet. I think we, you know, I think with cleaners, especially, the more you can train them, not so much from a cleaning aspect, because they're really good at that, but understanding what we're doing, you know, understanding that we're not just renting a space, we're creating a space that creates an experience for the guest. And the other side is we're caring for a home that an owner counts on us too. So what do I mean by that? Like, maybe a doorknob breaks or is loose and that needs to have, you know, we won't necessarily know that unless we're intimately involved. You know, one of the things, this is kind of a little bit off topic, but, you know, Julia, my wife, mom and I, we've been cleaning on Sundays, you know, different properties. And part of my head goes, don't do that because you're working in your business, not on your business. And you hear that over and over again, how don't work in your business, work on your business. I don't know, I agree with that. But I will say this, when you clean a home, you are intimately touching that property at a level that you can't do in a walkthrough.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, when you're making beds, you're feeling the linens, you're looking at the pillows, you know, you're dusting that whole room, and it allows you to spend more time in the property. So for me, Saturdays and Sundays is a time where I can be hands-on. I don't ski on the weekends. I kind of don't really necessarily do the stuff I do during the week on the weekend. So that's kind of a time where I can be intimately involved with the properties, not, you know, clean all day, but do one and make sure I try to specifically move around the portfolio. So I touch one property, maybe every 60 days.
Yeah, that's a good point. Especially if you aren't doing a walkthrough process, maybe you don't live, you know, close enough to your properties and you're just having your cleaners and you trust them. If you're not going in there and looking, your cleaners are not going to be able to tell you everything. They're not going to notice everything. They have probably other properties that they have to clean too. And so, you know, just being in the house and observing and taking note of anything that's changed and making sure you tell your owners that, and yeah, just spending intimate time in the house, like you said, is going to help you strengthen your relationships with your owners.
Yeah, and I'll just piggyback on that because something just recently happened that kind of reinforced what I'm saying. And it was an owner and his brother is, they split the ownership of the house. And this house is literally a cash flow. It probably generates over six figures. It definitely generates over six figures in gross rents a year. Mm-hmm. They've had it for 5 years and hundreds and hundreds of reviews, and his brother stayed there, you know, for a week or 5 days. And through that, we got kind of a scathing email, you know, like telling us that stuff that was broken, and it's stuff that we would have never known, you know, like a box spring and a shower that wasn't caulked right, or sinks that were slow draining. And, you know, honestly, I didn't respond to the email for a good 3 days. And then Julia and I kind of went through it together, and then I kind of let her run with it. And through probably the fourth or fifth iteration of the email, we finally felt like we wrote it well, where we defended ourselves, but still kind of understood where they were coming from. Well, that led to a conversation with this owner, and leading into that conversation, I think I was a little sick to my stomach and thought maybe this was the divorce that was going to happen. And we had a very productive conversation with the owner. He understood where we were coming from and, you know, basically said, look, I know that my house is a cash cow and I know that it's a machine and I want to keep this machine running. So if you tell me, I trust you guys, that you need to spend $1,000 right now on linens and new pillows or comforters, then do it. And you don't even need my approval for that. So it was a very, adding on to that is it came up that, you know, maybe I can put together a checklist for maintenance, and I haven't done it yet. This literally was like 2 days ago, but we're going to put together a checklist for maintenance so we can see slow running sinks. Cause honestly, when we clean a sink, we don't run the water. We just spray it,
right?
Disinfect it, whatever. So, you know, doorknobs, door jams, dryer vents, seals around showers, sinks, underneath sinks, slow draining sinks, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to build this maintenance list. I'm going to get it to this owner. He's going to send it to his brother. And through the team effort of us working together with these guys, we're going to create something that helps the property stay on track to get 5-star reviews and to keep running as a machine. And not only obviously for that house, we're going to implement it through our whole company.
Yeah, kind of learning through not really a mistake because we didn't really fault, but learning through feedback and taking feedback and actually listening to it and kind of dissecting it a bit and thinking like, okay, how can I implement this across all areas in my business? Yeah, I like that. Should we move on to number three?
Sure.
So we said not only surviving a pandemic, but somehow thriving. And we kind of talked about that with the growth point. But do you want to dive into that a little bit more?
Yeah, I don't know if this will change, but I just feel like we're lucky. You know, I feel like we're in a geography that was made for not the pandemic, but we're a drive to destination.
Yeah, people aren't flying to visit.
No one's flying here. There is a theme park, but there's really no theme parks. Our theme parks are mountains and, you know, acres and acres of places to go explore, to ski, to go on a river and float or whatever, you know. So I really think that we were fortunate to be where we are, but understand that we created that luck, you know.
Yeah.
Like we picked this spot specifically because we had a good, really good feeling that it was going to be a four-season thriving vacation rental community. So if you're listening and if you're not understanding, you know, what, where you are or where you're going, then understand, like, do your research and make sure you feel really good about where you are. Now, that's all well and said, or said and, I don't know how to say that. But,
said and done.
But maybe you're stuck where you are. You know, maybe where you are is where you are. Well, that's fine too. You might just have to do different things to grow or do different things to build your business.
Yes. And also that isn't to say that we aren't getting cancellations. There was a month where we weren't able to accept reservations. So we did get hit, but we were able to pivot and still thrive from that.
Yeah. So, you know, kind of how did that happen? I think, you know, I kind of glossed over it. So one of the keys was how fast I answered the phone.
Yeah.
You know, like how I gave owners confidence that we were serious about helping them. For example, we had an owner call, his cleaner quit. He needed a cleaning in 48 hours without a contract, without saying, this is what I need from them. I just said yes, and we did it. And we did that probably more times than I can count. And what that did was, could we have gotten burned by that? Could we have not gotten paid? Maybe. But what it did was it fueled the growth, because once they understood our willingness to help and our tenacity and our organizational skills and our ability to answer phone calls and to call back and to, you know, we shot videos of like, hey, this is us leaving your house and, you know, little stuff, you know, but the most important thing we did was we called people back and we answered the phone.
Yeah. Especially because around here, there's a lot of really big property management corporations. Well, I don't know if they're corporations, but they're much bigger than we are. and they're charging high rates. They're, you know, not offering all the level services that we are offering. And people were getting burned by these property managers and kind of felt lost. Like, some of them lost their cleaners literally day of, and they were kind of screwed over. And no one was answering them except for us. So it kind of, our own like willingness to say yes at the beginning helped us grow.
Yeah. The other thing I would add is, like, sometimes someone might not jump on board with you right away, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to jump on board. I had someone that I was in a Facebook group with, and I said, hey, I can help or whatever. And she went with another company. Well, lo and behold, 8 months later, or not even that long, I don't know how long it was, but 6 months later, maybe, she came knocking and said she was unhappy with them and she wasn't getting the service they wanted from them, and the cleanliness wasn't there, and they weren't getting good reviews, and now she's a client for us. So that first initial, like, nah, I'm good, you know, could discourage some people. I would just say, don't let it, you know, like, the no is not a no forever.
Yeah. It's all about nurturing your potential clients and knowing that, like, if I put in the effort and I just follow up and keep in touch with them, eventually they may become a client. They may not, but hey, they may also refer people to you. They might also recommend you to others, and some way or another, they feel obligated to give back because you were so helpful to them. All right, should we move on? Well, let's do a little recap. So our biggest wins of 2020, number one was our growth. Number two was the development of our team and our process. And number three was not only surviving a pandemic, but somehow thriving through it. Let's move on to our mistakes, because some of them are a little bit similar to what we said were our wins in 2020. So number one was growth without a process. It was definitely a nightmare at times, and we were well over our heads and scrambling for a lot of it.
Yeah. And I don't know if we need to really go much deeper than that. You know, it was what it was. And I would say out of that, we did a great job fairly quickly understanding what we needed to do. And we did react to that and we did make it happen, you know? So I would say it really kind of just took us by surprise how fast we grew. So yeah, I don't know if we need to go too much deeper into that.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe for our listeners, if you are now afraid of growing too fast, kind of go into it with the intention of pausing at a certain number and reflecting on your business so far. It's really good practice to do a reflection each month in your business to see your weak points, your strengths, any things that could be quicker or even eliminated. To avoid feeling overwhelmed.
Yeah. Or maybe even say, okay, if I hit this number, what is that going to look like? If at all possible, try to figure that out. You know, how many cleaners do I need at 10 properties? How many do I need at 20? What's the process for linens? What happens if you have fast turns, you can't do the laundry inside the unit? Where are you going with it? If it goes home with a cleaner, how do you know the cleaner goes back to that unit? Is there a process for that? Is there a way to centralize that? You know, ask a bunch of questions of what ifs, and that will help you put the process together for yourself before you need it.
Right. Think ahead as much as you can. Number two was not being ready for the summer. So summer in New Hampshire is the busiest season, and especially because of the pandemic, the area that we are in saw the busiest season of the entire lifetime of being up here. I know the city itself was saying that they were struggling to keep up with trash and struggling to keep up with their basic day-to-day maintenance of the city. And that's just because of all the tourists that were flooding to North Conway.
Yeah. You know, the only thing I will add is, now that we've experienced that, let's make sure we have a great summer.
Yeah.
In 2021.
Learn from the busiest season of all time.
And get ahead of it. You know, I don't feel like we have enough people yet on staff. So we need, you know, we're consciously thinking through that. And what do we need? And how many do we need? And more is probably better than less. And so, yeah, the good news is, through the busiest summer of all time, through this growth, we didn't really have our software figured out. You know, we were dealing with that too and making mistakes on that end. So now we have our software figured out. We have our walkthrough process figured out. We're doing some of these other little things. And you know what? We're busy. Right now. So I think our revenue in the month of January is at the same level as it was in August. A little bit because we have more properties.
And another thing is that we were accepting new clients in the middle of the busiest season of all time. So we went from having our own two properties to suddenly having 10 and not having much notice. Now we have bookings coming in for May and June, July already. So we can kind of plan ahead and see, okay, this Saturday in July is going to need 6 cleaners or something. We can plan ahead and get ready for that ahead of time instead of kind of dealing with it as it happens.
Absolutely.
Our next mistake is not saying no. And we did say that saying yes helped us grow, but there needs to be some boundaries with that. So do you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, I you know, this is something that I struggle with. You know, I struggle with saying no, although I think I've said no to 3 or 4 owners in a row that wanted us to take on their properties for different reasons. I am in a place now where it's not about, number one is not about money. Money is important. It gives you freedom to do things, but creating the life that I want to live now is way more important. So that's number one. Number two is not all properties are worth it, you know, and then not all owners are the right fit. And that could be more on us than them, or it could be equal, but sometimes we're just not a good fit. And if your gut is telling you to get away from this, then get away. You know, I was talking to my accountant yesterday, and she basically said the same thing. I don't remember how the conversations went this way, but she's like, I don't take on new clients anymore. And in fact, I look at the bottom 5% of my clients for whatever reason, and I get rid of them every year, you know, because I don't need that many. And I don't want to deal with people that aren't nice to deal with.
Right.
You know, so, you know, one of the biggest mistakes, middle of summer, still fueled by this excitement of growing, taking on a property without walking through it, just looking at pictures. And that was a huge mistake that luckily we got out of it in 30 days. But, you know, you still have to kind of tell the owner, like, hey, like what you did with the property. And, you know, we don't want to represent you. And no owner wants to hear that. They all think the property is perfect.
Right.
Because they work hard on it. And I get it. But it just doesn't mean it's the right fit for us. So, yeah.
Yeah. And that's something you'll learn as you go on. You might not know who your ideal client is right away, but you will soon figure that out. And it's the property, but it's also the person that you're working with. If the person you're working with doesn't want to invest in their business, they don't want to listen to your feedback, they don't want to make changes, then they're probably not going to be a good fit for your business if you're trying to improve things and you're really focused on the guest experience. If the owner just wants to make the money but don't put in the effort, then that's probably not going to be a good fit. But that's something you have to figure out for yourself. Maybe you do want to work with those people, but kind of think of the personality of your dream client. What would they look like? All right. So to recap our biggest mistakes, growth but a process, not being ready for the busiest season of all time, and not saying no. So we did learn lots of things in 2020. We're going to go over 3 of those things, and you will find that they, again, align with our wins and they align with our mistakes. So number one is grow with intention.
Yeah. And I think we've kind of beat this to death a little bit already, but you know, right now we are still growing, you know, but we're super picky with who we want to grow with. And, you know, but we're growing nonetheless. It's like we're an unstoppable train on the tracks. We're going to probably pick up. You know, what's interesting about this thought is the fact that I was thinking about goals for 2021, and it's really hard for me to kind of put them on paper.
Yeah.
Because like a goal in my past would be to grow revenue. And the quickest way to grow revenue is to get a new owner on board, right?
Right.
So do you want to double your revenue? I don't know the answer. You know, like, so I don't know. And this is, you know, I'll be transparent with our listeners. This is a problem right now for me a little bit, is like, where are we going? Because we're kind of fastly heading towards 30 units, you know, like, but we could easily go to 60,
right?
You know, in the next 12 months. And do I want that big of a number? So I'm struggling through it. If anyone listening wants to DM me on Instagram and help me, I will take any guidance you want to give. But I don't know if you can help me. I think it's personal. And we'll see where it happens. I'm sure I will figure this out, because I'm pretty maniacal about having a very clear vision. And I think the plan for me is to kind of go slow. But what's happening is real estate clients are calling us saying, I want to buy an investment property. And then I build this relationship with them. Mm-hmm. I then find them a house that's perfect for renting, vacation renting. And now they know, because they know me intimately, because we spend time together, whether it's on the phone or through videos or even coming to look at houses, it's kind of like, hey, you're going to manage my property, right? You know, and like, how do I say no?
You're almost grooming them to be your perfect client.
Exactly. And the other thing that's happening is quite a few of our owners, because money is so cheap, they're looking to buy a second and third home for investment. So now, obviously, we're going to be the ones that they pick to manage it. So we're going to grow that way too. So it's almost like I can't stop the growth.
Maybe it's you're requiring them to only buy a house through you, that kind of thing. Yeah, maybe, or like,
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just think we're going to shut off Google Ads. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, my role model and crush, Jenna Kutcher from the Gold Digger podcast, has a really good episode where she says to define your enough. Think about what is enough in your life, the money you need, the life you need, and then use that to base your goals on. So, you know, not everyone needs to be a billionaire. You know, that might not be enough for you, or that might be too much for you. So kind of think of what you want and then base your goals on that.
That's good advice.
So next is, don't skip the walkthrough. And I'm curious if this is walkthrough after cleanings or walkthrough before you accept a client.
I really think it's both. You know, I think the walkthrough before accepting a client is 100%. You cannot ever skip it. But with that said, I think it's the walkthrough with a plan. You know, like, you need to know, walking into that unit, you need to feel the linens, you need to see the owner's closet, you need to know what the backup linens look like, you need to take the pillowcase off the pillow, you know, you need to look at pots and pans, silverware, plateware, do they have kid plates? All that stuff is important, you know, so like, that is critical to not only, I mean, we would never skip a walkthrough on a new owner now, but don't skip anything within the parameters of what you're looking to do in that walkthrough. Because if you can kind of easily go into a unit, see the high ceilings, and it looks like a shiny new car, and when you open the hood, it has no engine, you know, like,
right,
there can be a lot wrong with it. So that, and then don't skip the walkthrough on your cleaners, no matter how much confidence you have in your cleaners. I cleaned a house personally myself Sunday. I walked through on myself on Monday. Because it got kind of late in the day, and mm-hmm. I was kind of like, I'm a little tired and I think I got it. And I found two things when I walked back through. The kitchen sink, I needed to hit it again. And then the dining room table looked streaky to me. So I had to use some wood polishing cleaner on it. So don't ever skip a walkthrough. I'm not saying you necessarily have to walk through on yourself like I did, but I'm not the best cleaner and I know that. So,
yeah. All right, moving on. So we've done grow with attention, don't skip the walkthrough, and now we're going to talk about knowing your numbers. And I know you just told me that you've been diving real deep into the numbers. So this is the first, I haven't really seen the numbers. So tell me what you've learned.
Yeah. So one, I think it's really important for anyone, whether you have one unit or whatever number of units you have, or if you haven't started yet, understand how you're going to track it. You know, so QuickBooks is the first probably software that comes to mind that can do this for you. I use a free one for rental management. It's really for long-term rentals, but they do have a short-term feature in it. It's called Stessa, S-T-E-S-S-A. And I've been using it from really since I started with my own one property. And it allows you to obviously put everything you need to put in there, cleaning supplies, any kind of maintenance, you know, depreciating a roof, mortgage payments, or platform fees. It allows you to download the monthly CTV file from Airbnb right into it. So it populates the rents, it populates their fees, everything you need from there. So I'm not making any money off of you guys going to Stessa, but whatever you choose is fine, but choose something. And yes. But what I will say that I hadn't done till recently was really understand who the top house performers were. I think because maybe we barely just now caught our breath, and I basically have the time now to kind of really super analyze this. And it's interesting when you rack and stack by management fee, our management fee. So basically that tells you gross rent revenue because we make a portion of that. That's our fee, right? So when you do this and you look back on the months, you can honestly see a lot. It tells a story about each property, and it can kind of, and it doesn't mean like the person that goes to the bottom is bad, but it definitely kind of makes me think about them at this, like, why are they there? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why is this property who maybe 2 months ago was number two or three, now number 10, 12, or 15, or 19. So it's really kind of opened my eyes when I rack and stack my management fee. The other thing is, I don't know if I really understood what we're making off of cleanings until recently. So I think it's really important that whether it's cleanings, maintenance, or your overall fee, understand all the metrics and then really analyze these. I think for me, I have to do it on a 30-day basis because I'm sending out an invoice to every owner on every 30 days. But understand like what you're making. You know, you're paying out your cleaners an hourly rate for so many hours, but what does that leave you, you know, at the end of the day with taking the cleaning fee from the guest? So my bottom line is, track your numbers from day one.
Yeah. And there's a really good book, once again, not getting any affiliate money from this, but the book is called Profit First. And it goes into how you need to know your numbers so that you don't go bankrupt and you're not wasting money and investing money in the wrong places. A lot of entrepreneurs, no matter what industry you're in, they get caught up in the business. And then they realize in the end of the year when they're doing their taxes, hey, I actually didn't make the money I thought I was making. Every channel that your money is in and out of your bank, you need to know where that stuff is going and keep track of that.
Yeah. The other thing I'll add is, you know, I talk to a lot of people that are looking to get started, and a lot of them are kind of like in a job they don't like. And, you know, they hear our story and how I left my job. And, you know, what I don't talk about is how we set ourselves up for that decision. We dropped our expenses, monthly expenses, substantially.
Yeah.
You know, we have no car payments. We have no credit card debt, and we have no business debt. We have zero debt on the business. And, you know, during the summer, we were actually approached by a large property management company up here to buy them. And it would have been 65 to 70 properties. And I didn't even think about it. It wasn't even a decision to make. It was without question, no. And for many reasons, but one of them, biggest ones, was I don't want to go into debt to grow. I don't want an office. I don't want staff. We're very lean, and you know, we can grow with very little liability. So yeah. If you have a tough month, you're still going to be okay, you know? And I think a lot of people think they got to go into debt, you know, like debt's good. That helps you build, you know, but that's not true all the time. I'm not saying it's never true, but a lot of times having peace of mind and the ability to sleep at night, because you're not waking up worrying about a loan payment. There's a lot of value in that.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So a quick recap. Top three things we learned was grow with intention. Don't skip the walkthrough of before you gain a new client and when you're doing a flip for your guests, and know your numbers. So next up, we're kind of switching gears and talking about our 2021 predictions and things that we've learned that we're bringing with us, more than just the three things that we learned. So do you want to kind of take the head start on this one?
Yeah, let's just start with two top. I mean, I think for us, but probably for most people in the United States, at least, 2021 is going to be one of the biggest travel years that I think we've ever experienced. Because, well, I'm making an assumption that the vaccine's going to get out there and the country's going to get back to kind of normal. I don't want to get into politics, but, you know, peaceful transition of power, all that good stuff happens. Vaccinations happen. People start traveling again. And I think it's going to be, you know, we thought last summer was busy. And I don't know if we can actually be busier because we're pretty maxed out, except for the fact that we'll have more properties now. But I think the next 12 months are going to be an incredible boom for the vacation rental business. You know, Airbnb going public is going to help. You know, I can already see it in our business. You know, like our occupancy rate for February is almost at 90%. And wow, that is incredible high number for a non-summer month. And the other thing that's happening already is we're getting bookings for April, which is not our busy season. And we're getting bookings for July. So this is the first time in a long time that I've seen bookings start to happen past the 38 to 40 day mark. So,
yeah, that's exciting. I definitely agree with you. I think it's going to be a really busy year. If not, you know, the entire 2021, it will pick up at the end of 2021. But I think the vaccine will definitely help.
Yeah.
So other exciting things that we're bringing on, we're doing a maintenance checklist, like you said before. You know, you have here linen management, cleaner management. Are you bringing on more cleaners? Are you actively looking for them?
We're on the verge of actively looking. We haven't placed an ad or done any, you know, but we did hire a new one, which was a referral. My puppy is on my lap. So that's kind of cool. I'm actually on a Zoom call today with Noise Aware, which, if you haven't heard of them before, basically what they are is a company that helps monitor noise in your vacation rental.
Oh, interesting.
And that came through an owner conversation where in the past, especially in the summer, it's a hot tub house, sleeps 14, has a close neighbor who I've had to go and sit in their living room and talk to them about their problems and how much they hate short-term rentals. So we're going to see if Noise Aware can be used to monitor the noise levels really on the outside of the house, but also on the inside. So we'll probably have a podcast around that and how that conversation goes. A lot of people use them already. I'm not like discovering them by any means. And I know that they will enable you to have a discount on your insurance for your property by using them for different reasons.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I know there's a lot of different gadgets out there that kind of monitor the guests without invading their privacy. So there's like smoke detectors that are like you can make them smart so they know if they go off or not. You know, you have the Ring doorbell, or you can see if people are bringing in things that you're not allowing, like pets or more people than are listed on their booking.
We just became Superhost again on Airbnb. And I'm not saying that's like the flagship, that you're the greatest thing that ever existed. But it's easy to kind of look at that and say, okay, we had 300 visits in the last 90 days, 300 plus visits. We had an average of a 5-star review. We had whatever, 0.3 cancellations, 100% response rate. We're good enough. You know, like we got it. We figured it out. But I don't think you ever get there when it comes to hospitality. I think you really have to sweat the small stuff, with whether that's dealing with guests that are challenging or even owners that are, you know, or properties that are, you know. One of the things I think is important for us to stay grounded in is like, don't give up on the house or the owner too quickly. You don't know what can be fixed or what can be corrected without trying. And I think it's kind of like, you know, back in my restaurant days, when I hired a new team member, you know, quite often it really frustrated me with 6 months in, that great team member who we loved at orientation, all of a sudden is the worst team member we've ever had. And we're quitting on them. You know, I think it's really important that we don't do the same thing here. We brought that owner on because we love their property. We like the owner. Don't give up on that too quickly.
Yeah, that's good advice. Instead of New Year's resolutions, people recommend doing a word for the year. Have you thought about that? I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, I've done that in the past, to be honest with you. And I don't know if it was last year was servant. Service mm-hmm. was my word. I honestly haven't thought about it. I would say that what's going on for me recently is to be more quiet.
Maybe slow is your word.
Slow is good. Slow, yeah, it's kind of like the same calm thing I meant by quiet. Is this like, you know, I'm doing yogurt. I'm doing yoga. I'm on day 17 tomorrow. You guys that don't know me, you would think like that's like the craziest thing you've ever heard, because that is I am a very difficult person to sit still. I run, I bike, I ski, I do those things that propel you. So for me to slow down for any amount of time, it's a challenge, and I'm loving it, you know. So I think slow, quiet, taking it one step at a time is going to, I think that is a good word for me. What about you?
Mine's expansion.
Whoa.
Yeah. Great. I think we talked about a lot of awesome things. Is there any last things we haven't discussed that you wanted to mention?
No, I mean, the only thing I can think about is, you know, with regards again to owners, I think it's important that you talk to them proactively. And on a relatively frequent basis. So somehow you need to track that, because there's some owners that, you know, they'll text me, they'll call me, they'll reach out to me. And there's some owners that never do. And I think it's important that you reach out to them and you just kind of say, hey, I just want to have 10 minutes on the phone with you. Here's what's going on. It might be nothing. Everything's going great. Or here's a few things that we were thinking about. And just make sure that you do that routinely.
Yeah, I like that. All right. Well, with that, we wanted to thank all of you so much for listening to another episode of the Superhost Unveiled podcast. Cheers to 2021. We got through 2020, everyone. We are a fresh start, ready to take the world by storm. So we hope that this episode has left you feeling inspired and you're ready to dive into the world of vacation rentals. Please reach out to us if you've been loving our podcast or if you have any questions about starting vacation rentals yourself. We are at Superhost Unveiled on Instagram, and you can take a screenshot and let us know that you listened, and we'll feature you on our Instagram. Of course, please leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts and share our podcast with a friend to help our podcast grow. With that, thank you so much for listening. This was Hannah and
Peter. Thanks very much, guys. Have a great day.
Bye.